Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live recording on how to stay positive in a negative world was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
The church started schools, and they used the Bible, and the purpose of starting the schools was so people could read the Word of God and could get changed. And the church started schools. And, of course, as people became educated and were able to read, it made a difference. Those people succeeded and prospered more than people that didn't have education. The government saw the benefit, and so the government took it over. And now we have an educational system that is basically telling people that a homosexual lifestyle is just part of it, that some of you are homosexuals, and they're teaching this in their school. They're teaching acceptance of these things. They are making fun of the Bible. They have kicked God out of schools, kicked prayer out of schools, because the church shouldn't have ever turned responsibility for education over to the government. Most of us have been raised under that system, and we haven't even questioned it, but it shouldn't have ever been this way. I got all of that out of saying that the disciples said, "Send them away. Send them someplace else. Don't you meet their needs. You're only for spiritual things. Send them somewhere else, because you Christians can't meet anything except just spiritual, eternal needs." Because of that kind of an attitude, the vast majority of people don't see the church as relevant. It's just for eternity. It's after you die and go to be with the Lord. The vast majority of Americans, surveys show, believe that there is a God, but they aren't going to church and they aren't seeking God because it's for the hereafter. It doesn't help you right now. It's not going to pay your bills. It's not going to get you well. It's not going to give you joy. It's not going to give you peace, because the church, by and large, is irrelevant because they aren't meeting the needs of people. That is not what God called us to do. The church, man, we ought to have such a reputation that if somebody's sick, they're beating your door down because you are having better results than the doctors. If somebody's poor, they're coming to you because it's working. Pastor Tom over here has written a book on how to be a millionaire. Is that the name of it? And man, he's getting results all over the world, and people are coming to him. That's the way that the Christians ought to be. We ought to be renowned, for we are prospering financially, emotionally, physically, socially. And if we would walk in what Jesus has done for us, the world would come to our door. If we would catch on fire, the world would come watch us burn. But man, all we are is smoldering at the best and just putting off a stench, and a lot of people aren't attracted to that. We need to be walking in the power of God. And so they said, "Send them away so that they can get their needs met." And Jesus said unto them, he says, "Give you them to eat. You feed this multitude." And when he told them to feed the multitude, look what they said. They said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give to them?" A penny was a day's wage. So do we have to take 200 days' wage? Just figure up what that would be today. I don't know what the average income is, but if you said $30,000 a year, I think that's low, but if you figured that as an average income, this would be probably at least $20,000 worth of bread. Are we going to go spend $20,000? They pulled the wallets out of their pocket, and where are we going to get this money from? They looked to their own resources, not realizing that they had access to the supernatural ability of God. And this is exactly what people are doing today. Somebody comes with cancer and they say, "Well, have you been to the doctor?" Not realizing that what we have is better than any doctor. Man, you can see things cured that a doctor could never do, and it'll be with less problems, less money, less recovery. It could be instantaneous. It's just 1,000 times better, and yet the average Christian wouldn't dare say something like that. Liability issues. Amen. I was talking to a pastor not long ago, and he says, "You know what? As a traveling preacher, you can say these things, but a pastor can't say this." Because he has to live with it in liability issues. I think that's wrong. That's wrong. And here's what Jesus said. He said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Out of this multitude, there was 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children, but there were children because it was a child that had these 5 loaves and 2 fish. So there was women and children. I bet you that there was a minimum of 10,000, maybe 15,000 people. And out of 15,000 people, they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all they had. Most people would think, no way. Look at what Jesus did. He commanded them to sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. You know, there's a lot in this. I'm not going to teach on this. Let me just say this very quickly, that I sat down one time and figured out that if you had 5,000 people, and I actually multiplied it to 10, because I'm convinced that there was a minimum of 10,000 people, and if you divided them into groups, and if each disciple had to run and get a basket full of food and run and then go take it to the people and then come back and get another basket full of food and go back and forth, I figured this out, it would have taken a minimum of 7 hours to feed 10,000 people with that system. And the scripture here says it was towards the end of the day. And that's the reason the disciples said, make them depart. So even if you're generous and say it was 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, by the time you add 7 hours to that, that would have stretched well into the night. And they left at sundown and departed in the ship. And so it couldn't have taken that long. Therefore, the only way this miracle could happen, Jesus didn't break the bread and the fish and it multiplied in his hands. What he did was take these 5 loaves and 2 fish and broke them into pieces and gave each one of the disciples a piece of fish and a piece of bread. And the disciples walked towards, and I have this figured out in my study Bible. I forget what it is right now, but each disciple had something like 10 groups of 100, 700 or 800 people or something. And so here they are. Like, I don't know how many we have here this morning, but we have a little less than 1,000, maybe 800 or 900 people. This would be like me walking towards you with one little piece of bread and a little piece of fish. And I said, all right, I'm here to feed all of you. Can you imagine what this was like? These disciples were walking towards a group this size with this little piece of bread and little piece of fish. And the miracle had to take place in their hands as they broke it. That's the only way that you could do it in this amount of time. They walked there with just basically just a tiny bit of bread, a tiny bit of fish. And as they broke it off and gave one person a piece, they still had as much. And the multiplication took place in their hands, not in the hands of Jesus. But see, this is descriptive of the way that we are. Here's the world out there that's dying of cancer and AIDS, and they're having financial problems and just every imaginable problem. And you know what? In yourself, you look at this and, God, I'm not sufficient. God, I can't meet this. But you aren't going in just yourself. You have been commissioned by God, and God has sent us. And we are to go unto people and say, in the name of Jesus, you know, we meet your need. And you say things that are beyond your natural ability. And as you get bold and speak in faith, God supernaturally takes the little bit that you have and multiplies it. And people get healed and miracles happen and people get saved and things like this. Man, this is really descriptive of how the ministry works. And yet most of us aren't seeing ourselves in Christ Jesus and the power that we have in Christ. And instead, we are just approaching people and saying, God, I'm only human. God, what can I do to help this person? You aren't only human. There's 1/3 of you that is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. There's 1/3 of you that has been born again. You have the power of God, the authority of God living on the inside of you. And the problem has been that Christians haven't been approaching the situations, the needs that they encounter every day in the strength of the Lord. They've been doing it in their own might and in their own power. We need to recognize it. Praise God. You are God's answer. You know, wherever you work, those people need you. And some of you think, well, I'm nobody special. You've been born again. Your opinion of God is better than their opinion of God. Oh, well, that's arrogant. I would never say that. That's the reason that you aren't making an impact. You need to recognize that if you're born again and if they're lost, your opinion of God is better than their opinion. And you need to sit there and you need to promote your opinion and try and get people to come over to your opinion of God. If you have been healed, if you believe that God heals today, then your opinion of God in the area of healing is better than most people's opinion of God. You need to recognize that God has put power on the inside of you, and we need to quit being intimidated by the ungodly and recognize that they're the ones that are weird, not us. This won't bless some of you because many of us have been intimidated and cowed by the world. But the Bible says in Psalms 14:1 and in Psalms 53:1, both of those Psalms are basically identical. It says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A person who doesn't acknowledge God is a fool from Scripture. Boy, most people, I'd never say that. Man, we got all of the heavens declaring the glory of God. We got all of these wonderful things and people can't figure out if there's a God or not. How dumb can you get and still breathe? You know what? If one of these lunar landers are, let's say that they send one of these things to Mars, and if they came upon a house, if a house was on Mars and it was all covered with dust and is grown over, but there was a house and there's windows and doors, a 3-bedroom house with indoor plumbing. If they came upon something like that, how stupid would you have to be to say, well, I think that this is just a natural rock formation and that the porcelain and the doors and the windows and the roof and all of this, it just somehow or another evolved. If you found something like that on Mars, I guarantee you would say somebody, some person, some living creature has been here.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to stay positive in a negative world. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1065C for CD or R3209D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 4th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RHT26 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to introduce to you a brand new feature that we have, and that's our online Charis Bible College School. We have about 15 different locations around the world where we have Charis Bible College Schools. We've had correspondence where you send in and get CDs and have tests that you send in and they get graded. But now we've started an online Bible school where you can actually sign up with other people, go through the classes. It's a structured thing, and yet it's flexible enough that you can make it according to your schedule. Wherever you are, you can get on this, and you have a facilitator that comes on and interacts with you, and it's the next best thing to being in one of our Charis Bible Colleges. I think it'll be a blessing to you, so check it out. You can call 719-635-1111, or you can go to our website, awmi.net.